sports betting landscape from coast to coast. This is Betting Across America with Mike Pritchard and Josh Applebaum on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome into the program. It is Betting Across America, and we are presented by BetMGM. I'm Mike Pritchard, one half of your hosting team. I'm in Las Vegas. The other half is across the country out in Boston, Josh Applebaum. Josh, good afternoon.
Pritch, good afternoon. Happy Thursday, my man. We got a great show today. We got a lot of action tonight across multiple sports, Pritch. Excited to break it all down with the obviously big Thursday night football game with Carolina and Houston. Seeing a big line move here, maybe a buy low spot on Houston at this point. Teaser opportunities as well. We also got Thursday night college football, Pritch. Excited to talk about Marshall and App State. Got a lot of day baseball. We got our buddy Gamble and Lou coming on the program. Can't wait to break down some NFL and some UFC with him for this weekend. And Pritch, if we have time, the WNBA playoffs start tonight. So I got a couple systems okay. When it comes to totals in the playoffs. So stay tuned for that. If you're WNBA better, we've been grinding this niche market a little bit yes. And having a little success. So hopefully we can get those plays in at the end. But Pritch, how you feeling? A big thirsty Thursday.
I'm feeling great. I'm trying to slow down time. I mean it seriously, Josh. It's Monday Night Football. Now it's Thursday Night Football. And so I'm trying to slow down the clock if I can, but I'm looking forward to those WNBA nuggets that you might have for us because we want to cash tickets. That's what it's all about, right? So let's get to it with the National Football League, though, because we got some developments happening across the league with backup quarterbacks. And let's start out with the Colts. So the Colts announced this morning that they're trying to prepare two quarterbacks, Jacob Eason, Brett Hundley. Probably not a lot of confidence in Eason, I would imagine. And so in the event of Carson Wentz not being available, here you go with the Colts catching 5 points now in this matchup against the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, so I think, Pritch, you know, one thing Michael Lombardi taught me is eliminate games. Eliminate, you know, I think whenever we look to an NFL Sunday or an NFL Sunday, we want to pick out the games we like. I think you maybe should go the other way sometimes, as Michael mentions, and eliminate games that you maybe have not as great of an edge on, because it's always okay to lay off a bet if you don't have an edge. Now, to me, what that means here is with this quarterback change, you know, if Carson Wentz is healthy and sprains both his ankles here in this for this game, and it's looking more and more or less and less likely that he's going to start here, we'll see how this develops between now and Sunday. But if he's healthy, this is an all-day Colts play for me. Divisional dog on the road. You know, a lot of these books open. Some shops are like 6 down mm-hmm. to 5. We're starting to see it creep back now to 5.5. So I would still lean on the Colts in this spot. But again, you know, I'm going to have to see who's at quarterback for this one. But I think the angle that I'm looking at, not only that divisional dog spot, Pritch, but the system we always talk about, our grinder system. When you're looking at those short road dogs plus 6 or less, they're 9-1 ATS so far this year. They're about 58% ATS the last couple of years. So it's really hinging on situation here. You know, this is a really contrarian spot where I think the public says Carson Wentz is hurt. They probably didn't like Carson Wentz anyway.
Right.
Now you put in a rookie quarterback or a young quarterback there. It's very lopsided. I'm seeing almost 8 out of 10 bets here on Tennessee. So mm-hmm. we'll see how this thing plays out. It was notable to me, Pritch, that some fives did creep up or look like they may be going up to 5.5 here with this news of Wentz maybe not playing. So again, I'll wait on the quarterback confirmation here. To me, it's either a don't touch it or I'll put on the hazmat suit for Indy here in a divisional game, especially with the Titans coming off that big win. I think maybe buying low on the Colts who have covered their last game, but still 0-2 to start. But what do you think, Pritch? How big of a drop-off is it, you know, going from Wentz to maybe Eason or Hundley here?
Well, it's a huge drop-off. I mean, a tremendous drop-off. One of the things, Josh, and we talked about this prior to the season starting, is you have to have two quarterbacks. In today's NFL, I mean, especially if the Colts, you know, Carson Wentz is a high-risk player. We knew that going into it. And I think for the remainder of the season, he's going to be a high-risk player. He's going to be questionable each and every week, I believe. I don't know when he's going to be completely healthy for the Colts. So why don't you have two quarterbacks? I mean, it's easier to say that, right? But then you look at other teams that have a backup plan or they have an experienced backup quarterback, and there might not be a severe drop-off. I don't know what kind of drop-off to expect with the Colts at this point, because we really haven't seen Carson Wentz with this football team. We've seen Carson Wentz with the Eagles, but we really haven't seen a large sample size of Carson Wentz with this team. And here we go with backup quarterbacks now for the Colts as well.
Yeah, I think it's a great point by you, Pritch, you know, because, you know, what we've seen, and maybe this benefits the Colts a little bit, is remember Carson Wentz was hurt for a good portion of the summer.
Right.
Where he had the shoulder issue or the leg issue. I forgot what it was, but there was a point there where it was really looking grim if you're a Colts backer or a Colts over win total better, because Wentz was hobbled. They had some COVID stuff with their coach, Frank Reich. You had mm-hmm. Quentin Nelson, the great guard, also with some issues and injuries. So maybe that time during the offseason where Eason did get, you know, a lot of snaps and a lot of, you know, reps with the team. And at one point at, you know, at DraftKings, I know that the starting quarterback, you know, Easton at one point became a favorite before Wentz, you know, obviously, you know, got better and was able to play that game. So maybe that's a benefit a little bit toward the Colts. The more I look at this line, Pritch, some did open like 3.5, 4, 4.5, now up to 5. Again, I really got to know who was that quarterback here, right? But the more I think about it, Colts plus the points is kind of intriguing. You're super contrarian. You're a divisional dog. The total did fall a little bit, Pritch. Maybe a lower scoring game. We know the Titans can put up a lot of points, and their defense isn't great, but a lot of those books open 50 down to 48 now at this point. That short road dog angle that we love here, again, 58% ATS last couple of years. And then Bill Vinovich, here's a small little angle. You know, he's going to be the lead ref here in this game. He's been good to road teams historically and good to unders. So that kind of lines up pretty nicely. He's about 57% historically to the under, and he's about 56% historically to the road team. So these are little things to keep an eye out for. Again, this is a game where it's either Colts for me or laying off. I'm not going to be with the public and making what, quote unquote, I think a lot of people would say, an easy play on the Titans. It's never easy in betting. There's no such thing as a lock or a guarantee. I think this is not a trap game per se, but to me, it's buy low on the Colts or lay off this game entirely.
Yeah, it's all about the market. Carson Wentz with that foot surgery prior to the season, but he got back in time for week one in the NFL. Let's get to some other quarterback news that involves backup quarterbacks, Josh. And so here we go. There could be 5 teams to start backups this week, as we know. 4 of those teams are going to be on the road. Taylor Heinicke, he's going to have the most experience, I guess, if you will, as a road quarterback there for the Washington football team. And then we know about Davis Mills in his game tonight. But look at the situation. These are all backup quarterbacks, 4 of them on the road, Josh, with big numbers as well.
Yeah, I think this is something we got to keep an eye out for. This is the kind of like an overarching trend that we talk about. So, you know, going into week one, it was all about dogs. Week two was overreaction week. I think week three, a big part of it is buying low on these teams that are 0-2 straight up or 0-2 ATS. But now we got another theme that we didn't really expect, a lot of these backup quarterbacks. And I think, you know, there's a public bias against backups. Number one, you weren't the starter. Number two, you're theoretically not as good as the starter. Mm-hmm. And there's a bias of, hey, the backup's in there, automatically bet against these teams. But for example, a couple ones that I really like, Pritch, and this is a game that we've been talking about all week, and it's gotten sharper over the last 24 hours, the Washington football team. This was a play that, you know, I was looking at Washington here early in the week, and we've seen further movement toward WFT here. Right. You know, a lot of these books open Buffalo -9, -8.5 at home. People are just saying, hey, give me Bills Mafia all day after that impressive win. You know, Tua gets hurt and they win 35-0. They're saying, okay, after that, you know, week one loss kind of upset against the Steelers, now the Bills are rolling here and they're at home and they'll crush Heinicke and the football team. However, everyone's betting the Bills here yet, Pritch, yet it's fallen 8.5 down to 7.5. And some books are even going to 7. So this is one of those sharp plays where it continues to go toward Washington. And I think, you know, at one point it's that conundrum, Pritch, like I missed the 8.5 with Washington. Should I still bet it? Well, guess what? If you can still find a 7.5, it may get down to 7 the way it's trending. And we're showing a 7 on our board right here. All these +7.5s for Washington are juiced up -115. So I think this is going to get down to 7. Will there be buyback in Buffalo? We'll have to see that. But I think if you can still get a half point and get the hook there with Washington, I'd play Washington here in the points. They have a really ferocious defense. Maybe can keep you know, the Bills in check a little bit here. You also have a big rest advantage. It's something I love and we've talked about, Pritch. They played Thursday night. The Bills played Sunday. That gives you a few extra days to rest, game plan, get ready. That's been a bit of an advantage. Nothing crazy, like 53% ATS in those spots. And again, also those dogs with the line move in their favor. If you're a dog, line moves at least a half point in your favor the last 2 seasons, you're 59% ATS. So again, you missed the 8.5. You're kicking yourself.
Right.
Don't be so sure, because this may get to 7 if you can still find a hook. I'm looking at football team 7.5 there, Pritch.
Well, I want your insights on this for a lot of reasons. Words that you had right there in terms of, you know, looking at these lines. So when we're looking at these lines right now, because there's a ton of information in VSiN.com that I've been reading, the insights that you're going to provide us here right now, too, because I know quarterbacks make a difference, right? But I don't know how much, because think about these quarterbacks. Davis Mills, he's a rookie. I get it. But Tyrod Taylor was taking over a team that they thought Deshaun Watson was going to be the quarterback of. And we know Tyrod Taylor, he's traveled around the league a little bit. So he wasn't really set as a quarterback, or there wasn't a culture created about Tyrod Taylor out there with the Houston football team. You think about Justin Fields. Now, he's better than Andy Dalton, but Andy Dalton has been traveling around. So, you know, I see these numbers, +8, +7. Taylor Heinicke, he's replacing the epitome of a journeyman at +7.5, right? He's replacing Fitzpatrick. Jacob Eason is replacing, or the other quarterback, Brett Hundley, is going to replace Carson Wentz. in which we haven't really seen him with the Colts either. And then Jacoby Brissett is replacing a player that hasn't really proven himself or established himself as quarterback in the league. So my point is, with these numbers, Josh, and I know quarterbacks make a difference, are these inflated at all because of the quarterback situation? I mean, to me, as a player, I don't think the quarterback situations for all these teams are all that different.
Yeah, I agree with your pitch. Again, you know, I think odds makers, it's a misconception that they're setting these lines trying to dupe the public. I mean, they're putting out numbers there that are bettable numbers. They've run through all their models, algorithms, formulas. They've had the power rating for both teams. They come up with a spread at the start, and then they kind of make adjustments for home field, injuries, weather, certain situations like that. Then the market takes over. So I don't think, you know, the odds makers are putting these numbers out saying, wow, you know, the public's never going to take any of these, so we might as well set it as high as we can. Like, that's not the issue here. I think it's more of as a data-minded bettor, buying low on these teams, because again, the public isn't going to want to bet on these backup quarterbacks. Also, what is the market telling us, Pritch? Like, for example, that Justin Fields game against the Cleveland Browns. Cleveland Browns opened -7.5. It was kind of staying there exactly where it's at. Public is hammering Cleveland here. You know, obviously a trendy type team. But as soon as Fields is announced as a starter, Pritch, it fell to 7. So what does that tell you? It doesn't tell you that once he was announced, the public said, wow, Fields is terrible. Hammer the Browns here. No, they bought low on Fields with the hook to drop it to 7. I'd be looking at Justin Fields there, keeping it close, grabbing the points. You would love the hook, but even the 7 is intriguing to me.
Some interesting dog developments right there. Indeed helps you hire great people fast. Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than all the job sites combined, according to Talentist. Visit Indeed.com/credit. When we continue the program, Lou Finicaro, he's going to join the program, give us his thoughts. UFC, National Football League, that's next.
This is Betting Across America with Mike Pritchard and Josh Applebaum on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Football season is here, and it's time to download BetMGM Sports Nevada, the premier sports betting app. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Just download the app, stop by any MGM casino on the Strip, have your state-issued ID, open an account, and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love the technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be at least 21. Physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. If you feel you have a problem, it's 1-800-522-4700. Welcome back to the show. It's Betting Across America. Mike Pritchard, Josh Applebaum with you today, and happy to bring on to the program Lou Finicaro. He's a Point Spread weekly contributor, host of Gam Lose Bout Business MMA podcast. Lou, how are you?
I'm doing great, guys, and tickled to be able to share a few minutes with you this afternoon.
Happy to have you as always, Lou. You know, Josh and I was talking about these backup quarterback situations and whether you're going to be on the road or not. Fitzpatrick, for instance, I didn't know how he was going to play with the Washington football team. We've seen Taylor Heinicke, though. They're catching a lot of points with a guy that's been with this group of players previously, and a tough road matchup for them, too. But a lot of points there for the Washington football team, though.
They're getting a lot of points. Although they're getting less points today than they were Tuesday when I submitted my release on Point Spread Weekly. But that said, Washington, Buffalo, I mean, before I even look at the specifics of the teams, I feel slobber knocker just going into the thing. Now, is Buffalo as good as they looked against a team in Miami last week that was out without their quarterback? Or is Buffalo more like the team we saw against Pittsburgh? There's still a lot we don't know. I look for vast improvement out of Washington, especially on their defense. In fact, I look for vast improvement in the NFL with regard to defense starting this week. And I just think that 7.5 or more is too many points to give the Washington football team in this situation. I don't care who they're playing.
Lou, it's great to talk to you. Great to talk NFL, and hopefully we can get some UFC in this segment as well. But you sent us a game that I'm so excited that you threw at us, because there are so many great ones, and close to my heart, you gave us a gross game that I'm excited to hit on. So the Atlanta Falcons and the New York Giants, both 0-2 teams here. What I've seen, Lou, is, you know, this game opened -3. Typically, it's around 3 points home field advantage, probably a little bit less, but basically a neutral site. Odds makers are kind of saying this is a coin flip game. But these threes are mostly juiced up toward Atlanta, +1, -115, with the plus three. Like, it may go down to 2.5. That's been the side with liability. Lou, I got a great great systems here on buying low on teams that are 0-2 ATS, buying low on teams off 20-point losses. That's between around 55% and 58% ATS. What do you think, Lou? Two bad teams. Should we grab the points here with the Falcons?
Yes. First of all, I will say that in this game, I give the Giants 1 point at the most for home field. My home field ratings are dynamically different per team. Jacksonville 0, Seattle maybe 2.5. I pay a lot of attention to that. So I don't give the Giants a premium of anything but maybe 1. And when I look at the Giants against the Falcons, the Giants are going to try and expose the Falcons secondary because the quarterback for the Giants and the wide receivers are capable. I think the defense for Atlanta, that front seven is going to try and expose the horses, or the fact that New York Giants don't have any horses in their front line. And I think that's more where the game's going to be won, because Daniel Jones isn't going to have time, I don't think, to throw the ball. I like Atlanta a lot in this situation, and I am aware my analytics people at Gamblu World headquarters have also told me there's a couple of teams this week that are so absolutely ugly that if you told your friends you were going to take them, they'd laugh you out of the room. And sometimes you just can't be afraid. There's some ugly ducklings this week.
Oh, Josh, that's probably got you
music
really
to my ears.
I know, right? Lou, let's get to Tampa and the Rams. First road game here for Tampa. Big game, big matchup. Pick them to 1 point situation. What do you think of this game?
Yeah, look ahead line, L.A. given 1. Now all of a sudden you turn around, they're getting 1.5. That's a pretty big change, even though it doesn't seem like much. But they're not done coming in on Tampa. I like L.A. here for the reason that where Tampa's strong in the passing game and those receivers, without A.B., by the way, is where L.A. is strong. Ramsey and that cornerback and defensive backfield is good. And I think the L.A. defense is poised and prepared to show Mr. Tom Brady and company, who, oh, by the way, play in New England next week, that L.A.'s a formidable place to play. I'm all about L.A. here straight up. I'm all about L.A. if you wanted to tease them up.
Lou, let's switch gears a little bit here. I'd love to talk all these games with you, but we got to get to your true expertise here with the UFC. Let me get your take on Ortega and Volkanovski. This is going to be obviously your main event here. I've seen a lot of these books open Volkanovski kind of like minus 180, somewhere like minus 190 down a little bit to around minus 180. But obviously it's going to be a very heavily bet bout. Volkanovski, a little bit older. He's a little bit shorter. It actually does have a longer reach here though. But what do you think, Lou? Volkanovski 22-1 going against Ortega 15-1. Would you lay this minus price with Volkanovski, or would Ortega with some plus money be worth a look?
As I handicap this fight, I see we have to respect Ortega's completely exposed and decimated. Now, while Ortega came back and beat the Korean Zombie in a deft show of improvement,
okay,
with his striking.
I think we have some technical difficulties right now with Lou Finicaro here. So, Josh, you know, you were interested in this UFC card. Is that a fight that you're looking to bet right there, Volkanovski and Ortega?
Gamble and Lou's take on this one, because again, this is going to be a very popular bet. I'm looking across the market. Volkanovski, who's 22-1 and has been obviously a great fighter in his career, very popular, yet we're seeing this line dip a lot. You know, some of these books were minus 190, minus 180, creeping out a little bit. I would definitely defer to Gamble and Lou's takedown here. But also look at Nick Diaz and Robbie Lawler. This is another one that caught my eye, Pritch.
Did it really? Because that one right there, I am puzzled. I don't know what kind of fight we're going to get right there.
Yeah, and again, Nick Diaz is a guy who very boisterous and gets a lot of attention, and obviously is a very popular fighter. But what's interesting to me, Pritch, both these fighters are around 38, 39, 40 years old. So it's going to be an older matchup here. And Diaz definitely record-wise 26-9 versus Lawler 28-15. What's notable to me is this is almost a fade the trendy dog play. You look at Diaz, who's actually a big favorite here in this matchup, but yet the line has been going to Lawler. Lawler opened like minus 110, minus 120. He's been steamed up to around minus 150. So this is kind of something across all sports. If a big play, if a player or a team is getting a ton of action here and really popular, yet the line goes the other way, I'm leaning on Lawler there, Pritch. That just looks fishy to me.
I mean, that fight looks fishy. Like Nick Diaz, I mean, come on. I don't know what kind of fight we're going to get right there, as we do have Lou Finocchiaro back in. Lou, we were just talking about that Diaz-Lawler fight. I don't know what to expect with that one at all.
It's hard to know what to expect, but here's what I can assure you. The Diaz army, and that's a tsunami wave of fans, they'll show up Saturday, and that's when they'll bet. So what I would do in this fight is I would wait to see if the Diaz public money affects this Lawler price. For me, the only way I take this fight is to use Lawler, but I'm not going to use him at the current price. I'm going to wait and see if I can get him back closer to pick him once the Diaz people get involved.
So, Lou, just wrapping up with your thoughts there for Volkanovski and Ortega. I think we had some technical difficulties as you've given us your breakdown there.
Thanks for letting me go back to that.
Okay, so it's Volkanovski's feet and his striking ability that's going to be completely overwhelming for Ortega,
no matter how Ortega looked against the zombie. The zombie's not Max Holloway or Volkanovski. That said, Ortega's got to find a way to get this to the ground, and yet a short, stubby anvil of a guy in Volkanovski with no neck that, oh, by the way, played rugby at 205, 210 pounds. He's fighting at 145. Volkanovski is really set up to look well against Ortega. Even though I think Ortega can take this fight to decision, I think it's one-sided for Volkanovski. That's how I view this fight. Yeah, use the minus 180 or so in parlays or whatever. Earlier in the week, it was down to 165 where I used it. But it's going to end up at a market 185 or so, I think. And I think that's a fair price on a champion that's looking to win his 20th straight professional fight.
He's Lou Finocchiaro, Point Spread Weekly contributor. Follow him on Twitter, too, at GamLou. Lou, we cannot thank you enough, not only for the NFL insight, but as well as UFC.
Thank you guys for having me on, and good luck to everybody.
Good luck to you as
well.
Lou. Absolutely. When we continue the program, we got Thursday Night Football, but NCAA style. We'll get to that next.
This is Betting Across America with Mike Pritchard and Josh Applebaum on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Make this football season your best sports betting season ever. Start your VSiN free trial today to get full access to our sports betting experts, including 24/7 video streaming, daily best bet emails, betting splits with the money and ticket percentages on every game, plus full access to VSiN.com data and analysis. You get everything VSiN has to offer for only $22 per month. Sign up right now at VSiN.com/subscribe. Welcome back to the show. It's Betting Across America. Mike Pritchard, Josh Applebaum with you today. So we got Thursday Night Football in the NCAA. Full disclosure, Josh, I cashed a ticket. Marshall Navy, happy about that. I love the fact that Marshall wanted to step up with competition, hiring Charles Huff from Alabama. So he takes over that program, quarterback, offense coordinator, continuity, but then athletes all over the place with that defense too. So they got a tough matchup against Appalachian State. Same opponent in East Carolina. App State beat East Carolina, whereas Marshall lost. What is the market saying about this game right now, Josh?
Yeah, Pritch. So for these standalone games, to me, what I always look for is there a really lopsided side here? Because, of course, going contrarian, we like to do it in the most heavily bet games. These are the standalone games, you know, the primetime games. If it's on TV and everyone's watching, you walk into a bar and it's up there on the big screen. These are the games I like to bet against the public, because the public bias is really, really saturating the market and creating an opportunity to go the other way and buy low on some of these gross plays. So to me, I'm looking at Marshall plus the points here, Pritch. I think you hit the nail on the head. Number one, these teams are both 2-1, but the public perception of these teams, I think, is vastly different. You have App State 2-1 ATS. You have Marshall 1-2 ATS. So I always like to kind of buy on the bad ATS team versus the good ATS team. And then great point by you. They both play East Carolina, where obviously App State takes care of business, -9 wins 33-19. But I like that Marshall's coming off kind of a bad loss to East Carolina. This really creates that public bias against them, which I like to actually buy on them because of it. They were a 10.5 point favorite there, Pritch. They lose 42-38. So they lose straight up as a 10.5 point favorite. That means if anyone bet them in that game, they're mad at them. They don't want to play them. And also gives even more confidence maybe for people to lay the points with App State here. But Pritch, I like this kind of what the market is telling me based on this movement toward Marshall. A lot of these books open App State -7.5. You're getting a very, very lopsided play where almost 2 out of 3, 3 out of 4 bets are laying it with App State here. Mm-hmm. We remember beating Michigan a few years back and kind of that trendy school that a lot of people, they know it's small, but they kind of love them. They just kind of remember them winning a lot of games and doing good things. But that bias, again, is maybe leading App State to be overvalued. But again, put that all aside. Public is all over App State, yet they open -7.5 and they're down to 7. You know, you can walk the tightrope and say, hey, I'll wait this thing out. Maybe I'll get the hook again. That's what I would do if you're looking at Marshall.
Okay.
You know, you're at +7 right now, so you missed the hook. So unless it's juiced up +7, -115, like it's going to 6.5, then okay, I'll jump on the 7. But I'll wait and see if the hook pops up again. If it does, I'll grab Marshall. Even if it doesn't, I'm taking Marshall +7 here, Pritch. And I think what you're banking on is their offense. You know, both these teams defensively are pretty much equal. They're giving up 18, 19 points a game. Mm-hmm. But Marshall, anytime I'm on a dog, I want a dog that can score points and keep me in the game and maybe not win it, but cover that number. Like, for example, Pritch, you're talking about the Cowboys. They're great offense against the Chargers. End up winning that game outright. But those are the sort of things I look for. Marshall's averaging 44 points a game. A great offensive team. I think that's going to keep them in this game here, Pritch. We also saw a little bit of over money here. It's going to be a great night at App State. Total open 57 and got all the way to 60. There's a little buyback on the under 60. We're now looking around 58.5, 59. But Pritch, what do you think? I like those little nuggets you had from, you know, the Bama contingent going over to Marshall. They've played some of these good schools. I'm on Marshall +7. What do you think, Pritch?
Well, I'm on Marshall now because I was looking to bet this game and I wanted to hear your thoughts. And what the market was implying to you, too, because I needed that insight right there. So thank you for that. I am going to bet Marshall. I just love the fact that they want to step up in profile. And so hiring Charles Huff, and he takes over this program. But he kept the offensive coordinator. He knew how important that was going to be to the quarterback. And you mentioned Marshall being able to light up a scoreboard. It was a shootout against East Carolina. Marshall had 647 yards, but they turned the ball over 3 times. And so when you're in a shootout like that, those mistakes like that can cost you a game. So they lose that game 42-38. But no, I do like the fact that Marshall can put up points and light up the scoreboard in this one. This one's going to be a great game tonight.
Yeah, it really is, Pritch. And I think that's another thing that we always talk about. And the team at Beeson does a great job of explaining this, but not just going off of scores. Like if you look at that score, 42-38, -10.5, you're like, wow, right. Marshall really laid an egg there. They were favored to win by 11 or more and they lose outright. But again, the box score, what does that tell you? That tells you they played pretty well, but the turnovers killed mm-hmm. them. I think that's an important factor here when you're looking to buy low on these spots. And again, if you give me a primetime game, you know, and again, I like these games a lot. You know, we go back to like Thursday or Friday? Maybe it was Friday night with that spot with Illinois and both Louisville. When I see these like only games in town type games where there's only one or two games in college on a Thursday or Friday and everybody's taking one side, I think they're just thirsty for action and they're going to overvalue typically the favorite there. I love these buy low opportunities. So this is kind of a blueprint play for me. Contrarian in a heavily bet game. Public is all over App State, yet they fell -7.5 down to 7. Tells me really the key play there was if you could find App with the hook with a 7 or with Marshall with the hook +7.5.
Yeah,
there.
Definitely looking for that. If I can find it, I'll jump on a 7 though. But if I can find the hook, that'll make me feel a little bit better about that bet. But let's get to some other big games coming up this weekend. Notre Dame and Wisconsin, a huge one. I've cashed a ticket on Notre Dame before as well. On the road against Wisconsin, Wisconsin laying 6.5 here at the South Point. Actually in Chicago. Sorry about that. I knew it was in Chicago, but Wisconsin's the home team in Chicago. 45 is the total in this one, Josh.
Yeah, so there definitely was some under money. I think the total opened around 46.5 down to 45. You always got to take a look at the wind. I think there's going to be about 10 miles an hour there, Soldier Field wind, so maybe a lower scoring game. But Pritch, this is a system that I love, and it's really when you look at something that looks fishy and makes no sense. Like Notre Dame is an extremely trendy dog here. Everybody's taking Notre Dame. Now, this was a spot with Michigan State against Miami that did not come through, where obviously the public play toward that popular dog with Michigan State ended up beating Miami. Mm-hmm. But I don't think you should let one game sample kind of like ruin a system that has been tried and true for years and years and years. So I really like Wisconsin here. This is a fishy play. Like, if Notre Dame is 3-0 and Wisconsin's only 1-1, then why is Wisconsin favored when it's not even a true home game? That makes zero sense. So it tells me there's something up here. This is, again, kind of a trap type situation here. Again, not intentionally, but I think the public perception is you're giving me points with Notre Dame. They should be favored in this game. So this thing opens up, Pritch, -5, -5.5, been steamed up all the way to 6 or 6.5. Why is the line moving to Wisconsin if Notre Dame is quote unquote the better team and they're getting the majority of bets? This looks like a really fade the trendy dog contrarian favorite play for me. I'd be looking to lay the points with Wisconsin. Obviously you wanted anything 6 or less, but another couple things here, Pritch, to take an eye out for coming off a bye week. You know, if you look at these teams coming off a bye, especially a favorite off a bye, they do very well. Wisconsin, again, had a bye, more time to rest, rehab, game plan against Notre Dame. Those teams coming off a bye in college football, when you're favored, they're about 56% ATS. You also look at two ranked teams take the favorite. That's about 54% ATS. So again, I think the public is going to say easiest play of the week is grabbing Notre Dame in the points. But why did it open at 5, 5.5? Why is it up to 6.5 if everyone's betting Notre Dame? Pritch, I like Wisconsin to cover this number. This just looks really fishy to me.
This one's intriguing. It really is, because I was looking at another angle. So Wisconsin, true to form in the Big Ten. I mean, you can take a nap during a Wisconsin game. I'm not going to lie about that. Now, it's Notre Dame, a lot of excitement. Soldier Field, though. So the surface at Camp Randall is field turf. And I was curious if you had any information about Wisconsin on natural grass.
Ooh, that's a great point, Pritch. I would say one thing with natural grass that you like is unders. You know, obviously it's a kind of a thicker grass. Yep. Maybe it's a little bit deeper. You can't cut as well. Your footing and your tracking isn't as good for, you know, offensive play. Obviously, also the kicking game, you know, obviously the outdoor elements. So anytime you get outdoor real grass, thicker grass, it definitely has a slight edge there to the under. And again, this thing did open, you know, 46.5 even down to 45. But yeah, Pritch, what's your angle playing, you know, high school, college, NFL, you played it all. What was the difference when you were a wideout, you know, field turf, AstroTurf versus natural grass? How do you think that affects these players here?
Well, you're faster on field turf for sure. Now, natural grass, Soldier Field, that grass typically is a little thicker and sometimes slick next to the water right there. But I wonder if Notre Dame's more equipped for that, more so than Wisconsin. It's just a different angle I was looking at on that matchup. Let's get to one more real quick. A&M. Against Arkansas, surprising people. Now, this is a neutral site too in Arlington, AT&T Stadium.
Yeah, this one is notable to me, Pitch, because everyone's taking Arkansas on this one, and that's kind of surprising. You know, both teams are 3-0. Arkansas is 3-0 ATS. Texas A&M is 2-1 ATS. And Arkansas has really been rolling over all their opponents. But what's notable to me is you're having almost 3 out of 4 bets grabbing the points here with Arkansas. Right now it's around 4.5, 5, 5.5, something like that. It's ticked down a little bit. I saw some 5.5s, maybe down to 5. But this is notable to me that the easy play to me seems like grabbing Arkansas, an undefeated team, an undefeated at 18. That's the other thing, Pritch. Like in the NFL, buying low on teams that haven't covered. And the flip side for any other sport, especially college football, it's betting against teams that continue to cover, because anyone who's bet Arkansas this year is 3-0, saying Arkansas is my favorite team. They keep making me money, so I'm going to keep betting on them. But that leads them to be overvalued most times by the betting public, and the odds makers set those lines knowing that. So to me, Arkansas looks like a trendy dog in this spot, Pritch. I'd be looking to lay the points with A&M. But what's your take here? Would you lay the points, or can Arkansas give them a game here?
Well, I mean, this game gets interesting because of the track record so far. I mean, Arkansas surprising people big time. And then A&M, I just saw them against my bus, struggle a little bit with a backup quarterback. That Notre Dame-Wisconsin game, that under looks mighty intriguing, mighty enticing right there. Thursday Night Football, NFL style. That's coming up next. Sign up today at BetMGM and enjoy the thrill of victory on your very first bet. The King of Sportsbooks welcomes you to Showtime with the Lock of the Year. Simply place a $10 moneyline wager on either Carolina or Houston, And if either team scores a touchdown, you'll win $200 in free bets, regardless of your bet's outcome. Just use bonus code VSAN200 when you make your first bet to take advantage of this offer. Enjoy football like never before with BetMGM's live betting options, boosted odds specials, and daily promotions all season long. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com and use bonus code VSIN200 to win $200 in free bets if either Carolina or Houston scores a touchdown. It's a new customer offer. Paid in free bets. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be at least 21. Please gamble responsibly. If you feel you have a problem, it's 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Welcome back to the show, Betting Across America. Mike Pritchard, Josh Applebaum with you today. So Thursday Night Football in the National Football League. Josh, Panthers on the road laying 8 against the Houston Texans. Now, Houston Texans, they win that first game at home against Jacksonville. Your thoughts on this matchup?
Yeah, so first off, I think we got to give some props to Matt Rhule. You know, he's done this at Temple. He's done this at Baylor. Year two is when these teams typically take a leap with him as head coach. And really, Panthers have been a great start and a great surprise here in the NFL so far. They're 2-0 straight up. They're 2-0 ATS. As you mentioned, Pritch, they cover against the Jets, -3.5. They win that opener 19-14. Mm-hmm. Big win against the Saints last week, 26-7 as a 3-point dog there. But I think we may be kind of overvaluing the Panthers and maybe undervaluing the Texans. I think that's what I always look for in these primetime matches. So Houston, who all summer long, Pritch, everyone was telling us how terrible they're going to be. They had the lowest win total of 4. I don't think they're as bad as we were told. And again, a team with a lot of veterans, and obviously you don't have Deshaun Watson, but I like it when the public perception doesn't always match exactly what you see on the field. So Houston, 1-1 straight up. They're also 2-0 ATS. They've been a good bet here. Upset the Jags in that week one spot. They lose to Cleveland last week, 31-21, but they cover that big number, the 13.5. So Pritch, the way I'm looking at this, number one, we got this from BetMGM, our buddy John Ewing, 78% of tickets on the spread are laying the points with the Panthers here. Okay. So just from a contrarian angle type situation, wanting to do it in these one-off heavily bet primetime games, you know, Sunday night, Thursday night, Monday night, we do know these primetime dogs are 4-2 ATS. Just from the standpoint of you walk into a bar and everyone's on Carolina, you know, 8 out of 10 bets, I like just from a pure contrarian angle, grabbing the points here with Houston. But I would admit, you know, early, I think there was some Carolina money that came in. A lot of these early look at lines are actually Carolina -4, Pritch. And then obviously with, you know, Davis Mills being the starter here and Tyrod getting hurt, kind of reopened -7. A lot of respected bettors did hit the 7 early. Mm-hmm. But now that it's at 8, I think if you're laying the 8, even if Carolina rolls here, I don't think you should get in the habit of laying numbers after they move so much. You're just not getting any value. So I'm looking to buy low on Houston +8 in this spot. Now, if you do like Carolina, I would look at them in a tease, Pritch. This is something that wise guys love to do, teasing through multiple key numbers. It's kind of the Wong teaser. He kind of revolutionized this like 30 years ago. But getting the Carolina Panthers -8 to -2, why is that a smart move? Because you go through the 7, you go through the 3, multiple key numbers. Now, even if it's a tight game and Houston covers, but you get Carolina under that field goal, you can cash that bet. I think a lot of people will probably pair that with maybe Arizona against Jacksonville, taking Arizona 7.5 down to 1.5, or maybe Baltimore 8 down to the 2 against Detroit. But Pritch, a couple things to like about Houston here. Contrarian and heavily bet game, inflated line. Now you're getting 8 off the opener of 7. Dogs are 66% ATS so far this year, 21-11 ATS. Primetime dogs 4-2 ATS. Our buddy John Ewing sent us this stat as well. Since the merger in 1970, September home dogs of 7 points or more, Pritch, they're 91-59 ATS, 61%. Also, if you look at a crazy stat here, which I don't know if there's much to it, but I kind of like it. It kind of goes, maybe it's a little confirmation bias, but if you're looking at Davis Mills tonight, the last 5 rookie quarterbacks to make their starting debut on Thursday Night Football, they're 4-1 straight up. They're 5-0 ATS. Mm-hmm. The guys who did it and covered here, Pritch, Brett Rippon, David Blau, Nick Mullins, Deshaun Watson, and Jacoby Brissett back in that Deflategate year. So I'm looking at grabbing the points here, Pritch. Now, the total is intriguing. I think there was some under money. I think it was like 44 down to like 43. But the thing you got to worry about is these primetime overs are 6-0 to start the year. And also, if you look at these dome non-conference overs that are low 45 or less, with a deflated number, they're 58% to the over the last decade. So what do you think, Pritch? Is this line a little high for you, or would you rather Carolina in a teaser? What's your take on this game?
Well, so it is inflated. I was waiting for those words, to hear those words right there. So I believed it was inflated. I mean, it is Houston. It's the Texans. I get a lot of noise right there. And so at some point, the wheels are going to fall off. I don't know when that's going to happen, maybe after this game in a short week. But I don't see a big difference between Davis Mills and Tyrod Taylor. I just don't see it. I mean, I get it. He's a rookie quarterback. But you look at the Texans, they're averaging 29 points a game. The first game, certainly, 37 points, okay, 21 points on the road. But yet there's other factors at play here. You got a veteran team that could rally around this quarterback, this young quarterback, smart quarterback, from what everybody has said. So is the game plan going to be overly complicated? Is it going to be is he going to be above his skis here in this game? I don't see that for Davis Mills. Maybe he makes a ton of mistakes or not, but the chance for the Texans at home with 8 points, that is more intriguing to me than laying 8 points for sure at this point. And then what you said about the teaser situation, I had a good friend, great friend, actually, Josh. He's part of my teaser syndicate. And he says that teasers are the weapons that bettors can use against the books.
Ooh, I like that, Pritch. That's good. We got a lot of potential there. No, and don't name any names. You don't want to
blow up the
spot here.
No.
But yeah, don't do that. But I agree, and I totally think so. I think the whole point, though, is if you do them correctly.
Right.
I think a lot of people, when they look at teasers, they just say, hey, you know, I can tease a team from plus 10 to plus 16. Boom, my chances of winning are increased. But you got to be strategic about it. It's really this teaser in particular, going through multiple key numbers, that has a ton of value, because that's really the way to attack these. I don't think you want to get in the mentality of, oh, just give me more points and I'm more likely to win. No, you got to go through these key numbers. Like, again, the 8 down to the 2. Why is that important? You go through the 7. Go through the 3. Another one that I love, Pritch, is a dog that's like 4.5, mm-hmm. taking him up to plus 10.5.
Right.
That way you go through the 7 and you go through the 10. So I think that's really, really important. I think your buddy's definitely in the right there. And I also say, Pritch, you know, just correlative betting. When you're on a really contrarian home dog in a primetime game, and you're a dog getting more than a touchdown with a low total, I always love dogs low totals, because if this is going to be a tight game, a low scoring game, I think some of the numbers we threw up, Panthers, I think they're at 5-0 to the under, or they've cashed a lot of unders here with Matt Rhule recently. You're getting big points in a low total game. It's going to be hard for the Panthers to cover that number. That gives me a little bit of a faith or confidence maybe in the Texans. But yeah, give me the points here, Pritch. I just think this line's too high. And again, the only way I'm playing Carolina is with that teaser. Mm-hmm. I'm grabbing the plus 8 though here, Pritch. I think this is a little bit too high of a number.
All right. I'm seeing feedback all over the place. Social media, Josh, the Market Insights, the podcast is phenomenal. highly recommend it. What do you have for us today from a Market Insights perspective?
Well, I appreciate it, Pritch. Always grinding here, my man. So number one, I had to get to this WNBA, because WNBA playoffs start tonight. So Daniel Alvari, our colleague, I know she's excited for it. She's the sharpest WNBA bettor at VSiN, sharpest one I know. But one thing that I really like, Pritch, we talk about this niche market where throwaway percentages, they mean nothing, because there's not enough public betting to really make it worthwhile to bet against the public. So line moves are really, really meaningful. And I lean a lot on system matches as well. Not a trend, but a system. The distinction to me is a bigger sample size that's proven over time, and it doesn't matter who the teams you are, the two teams you plug into the system, it's still profitable. So what I'm getting at, Pritch, is playoff overs in the WNBA. I was looking at some research here. The last 5 years, playoff regular season totals, the over, it's like 50-50. There's no juice. There's no advantage. Even with the juice, you're actually down a little bit. But playoff overs, postseason overs, the last 5 years, they're 47-33, 59%. So you jump up 9%, you know, win rate here, taking over in the postseason as opposed to the regular season. Now, if you go a little further and a total is 160 or higher, that same system, playoff overs 160 or higher, 35-22, almost 62% the last 5 years. So we tend to see higher scoring games in the playoffs. And both of these games tonight, I'm taking the over. You look at the Wings in the Sky, Pritch. Again, a niche market with a move that's meaningful, because it's mostly by respected bettors. That total opened 165. It's now up to 167. And then the same thing with the Liberty and the Mercury. Another niche spot where it's hitting to the over. And there's no public saying, give me these overs tonight. These are bettors who follow WNBA, no WNBA. This game here, Mercury and Liberty, open 163, up to 165. So give me both overs here, Pritch. Okay. I got a historical angle. The market's moving to the over. I want points, points, points. I don't care who wins, who covers. I just want a lot of scoring back and forth. I'm going over in both of these games.
So betting activity because of the playoffs, I mean, are you noticing a difference there?
It's ticked up a little bit, okay, here, Pritch, but it's kind of marginal. You know, the one sport that really jumps is NHL. Like, NHL, yeah, is pretty low bet all year. You do see playoff hockey, people get into it and bet a little bit more, but I'm okay with that. I want these tickets to stay low. I want the public to not even look at this. I want this to be a niche number that moves up with a good historical betting system. So a lot of points. I want every possession, Pritch. I want a bucket. That's what I'm rooting for tonight.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's playoff basketball too, so you would want that anyway. So liking the points in all those situations right there, WNBA. Nice breakdown.
I appreciate it, Pritch. Hey, we got to cover all our bases. You're in Vegas. I'm in Boston. We got to get all the sports in. I mean, what's better than this? Great job today, my man.
Yeah, great job as always by you, Josh Applebaum. Good luck with your plays for sure. The Edge, come up next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.